Welcome back to another episode of Brain Lemonade, and I'm going to tell you something right now.
What?
We're going to get lost in the wastelands.
Yes.
We watched all four Mad Max movies in 1 week.
We did.
And...
you know what made me mad, though?
It took us this long?
Yes, but also, we bought them digitally, and then like a week later they're on Max
HBO.
Or something. Yeah, I was like, Max, are you kidding me? Which is fine, now we own them, but I was like, we could have saved like $12.
I'm kind of bummed that this movie series wasn't on my radar until Fury Road came out.
Yeah.
And then I'm more bummed that it took me so long to watch the other movies.
After Fury Road.
After Fury Road, yes.
Also, we have a... poster scratch off? Is that what triggered us to watch?
Yes, for sure. We have a, what does it say on there? Like 200 or something?
450 fantastic movies.
450 fantastic movies. And it's a scratch off poster. So once you finish it, you just scratch it off the poster.
Yeah.
But Mad Max 1, Mad Max. That's what it's called. Director, obviously, George Miller. And the writers were James Coslin and two others.
George Miller and Byron Kennedy.
Oh, Byron Kennedy. Yeah. Sorry. I knew about that. Mel Gibson was Mad Max. Said bad guy, Hugh K. as Byrne as Toe Cutter. You got Tim Burns as Johnny the Boy. Joanne Samuel as Jesse. And, you know, it's just a handful of others that, your brain will kind of recognize but won't.
Right.
Yeah. And it takes place in a self-destructing world, a kind of vengeful Australian...
Outback. Desert, yeah.
Desert police world. And motorcycle gangs are becoming violent, and the police are fighting back. Max... you know, goes in a mad spiral and kills an entire gang. But here's what gets me is that one was strange in some senses. It was really good, though.
It was.
But two blew my mind.
Right.
Yes.
I think.
Of just like, yes, like not blue. You know what I mean?
Right. In the first one, I feel like they didn't really give you a ton of like backstory on like why this is happening. What is happening? And like, it's
they just wanted to set you up with Max.
Throw you in and like, okay, Max is a cop.
Yep.
And like, but the cops aren't necessarily good, and like he needs to take out or like, whatever. But I think at the beginning of Road Warrior, they kind of give you like a little history on like how they got to where they're at right now, and I think that was cool because it just kind of,
But that doesn't mean, like, the things that didn't happen in one, in the first Mad Max, weren't good. Like, there was lot of stuff, just the creativity, the look behind all of it, the theme. It still kind of had that, like, rustic wasteland desert look that Fury Road has.
Right.
Which was awesome as hell.
Right. And it's kind of crazy because, I mean, it was made in 1979. So, like... the special effects were, you know, practical because of the time and stuff. And, like, I think the practicality of it fit really well with, you know, the theme of desert, wasteland, post-apocalyptic.
And, like, kind of... and that's where, it, like... because they also, like, the biker gang, since they were all on motorcycles most of the time, and trucks and stuff, they all, like, enhanced them in their own way. That kind of gave it, like, a sci-fi... diesel punk, sort of.
Dirt, like desert.
Like dirt punk, yeah.
Diesel punk, or something.
Or desert punk, I guess. Well, I mean, it definitely kicked off the desert punk, you know what I mean?
Since we're talking about the biker gang, there's five pieces of trivia on this IMDb page.
Yeah, go for it.
So there was a get out of jail free card that Goose gives Triker, which is one of the bikers. And it was a joke because of the limited budget. The biker gang was an actual biker gang called the Vigilantes. And they had to ride to the set each day in costume, often with their prop weapons displayed. And since the production company expected them to be pulled over by the police, they were giving a letter, the like biker gang was given a letter, be like, these aren't real weapons. This isn't real stuff. They're on their way to a set. So like it was legit biker gang.
Dang.
In filming.
That's cool.
And
that's authentic.
Also, the budget was so limited that most of the extras were paid in beer.
That's okay.
I mean, you couldn't do that now, but
you know
1979,
how cool it'd be to show like your grandkid today and just be like, dude, there I am.
Like, right? Okay, Grandpa. Just kidding.
Good story, Grandpa.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know. I thought that'd be cool.
Yeah. And I guess I'll just share the other interesting piece. Well, just the last piece of information.
Is this a Mad Max 1 still?
Yeah.
Okay.
George Miller raised money to make this movie by working as an emergency room doctor.
Oh. Don't worry, I'm a doctor too. I just like directing movies.
Right. Like, how crazy is that?
Damn. I like the poster for the first movie. Looks like it was... Is it hand-drawn? Back when it was cool.
Back in the day, I know.
Yeah,
but,
awesome.
Like, all those, like, hand-drawn, inked posters are so cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to switch over to the second one because I enjoyed the second one, a lot. Mad Max 2 Road Warrior is what it's called. I forgot to tell you guys the tomato meter, or if it's fresh or rotten, whatever you want to call it. Rotten Tomatoes gave the movie 91%.
Yeah.
And the audience score gave it 70%.
Right.
I don't disagree with any of those scores.
No.
So like in that range, 80 is good to me. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, watching it in 2023, like, obviously you can tell it's an old movie, but it still, in my mind, holds up.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Like,
story-wise, production-wise, like, it's not a bad movie.
I mean, it feels like an indie movie, but duh.
Right.
Like, otherwise, The Road Warrior, Mad Max 2, 1981. Okay. Director George Miller.
The writers were Terry Hayes, George Miller, and Brian Hannett.
Mel Gibson obviously reprised his role as Max. I was trying to remember his last name.
Mr. Max.
Because this one is where it's a wasteland now, desert wasteland. Gasoline is scarce, so they're kind of fighting for gasoline as well as... let's see, we had, Bruce Spence as the Gyro Captain. Gyro Captain?
Probably Gyro. The Euro? Just kidding.
Max Phipps as the Toady. Kejal Nilsson, the Humongous.
Humongous.
As the Humongous. Virginia Hay as a warrior woman. Emil Minty as the feral child. And in this one, it's in the post-apocalyptic Australian wasteland, a cynical drifter agrees to help a small, gasoline-rich community escape a horde of bandits. And that's what happens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I liked about this one is it was pretty straightforward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get the gasoline... I'm going to help you get this gasoline the hell out of here before all these bandits come and kill you all.
Yeah.
And worse. You know what I mean? It's pretty straightforward. Come up with a couple of plans, you know. Solid. Solid. My opinion. My favorite. I think it's my favorite one. Not saying that any of these are bad. I'm saying that,
But I mean, like I was saying, when number two, Road Warrior starts, they kind of explain
right, and
what has been happening and why they, how they've got to where they are. So it makes I don't know, it makes it feel more like personal, like this right. time it's personal. But and also everything
this
that,
time it's personal.
But everything that happened to Max in the first one, like, is obviously fuel for number two. So like fuel. You are, you know why he's doing what he's doing.
Right.
And why he is the way he is.
I'll start with this one since I have it already up, but Road Warrior got 95 and 86. And I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Like, I do like this one a lot more than the first one, just for, like, a lot of things about it. I just was able to, like, yeah, what's next? What's next? Yeah, what's next? Yeah, and I, you know, it had a firm grasp on all of it and kind of just created this legend that is Mad Max, this Road Warrior. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
And I feel like Fury Road kind of isn't like a remake of Road Warrior, but like.
Oh, no, it's not. Like, I'll get to that.
Inspired,
yeah.
Like, seeing this one after we've seen Fury Road, like, just the whole, traveling a caravan and, like, fighting things, like, going on the tanker and stuff. Like, it's pretty
cool. On the road and such.
Yeah.
I think I read up. This is the first time we see his friend Bruce Spence, because he also shows up in the third one as well. But yeah, Mel Gibson again. I don't know. Like, it's really hard to say like why I like this one. It's like the epitome of just classic action from the 80s.
Dystopian
if it was in a dystopian world. Yeah, exactly. And I had a lot of fun watching this one. Probably going to watch it again now.
Right. It's interesting. Like, I was looking at the trivia.
Yeah, what do we got for trivia?
Guess how many lines of dialogue Mel Gibson had in Road Warrior?
Six?
16.
16?
And two of those lines are, "I only came for the gasoline." Which is crazy. I mean, he didn't have a lot of lines on the first one either.
Oh, right. And but I mean, like, sometimes that's how you make the character more mysterious.
Right.
Tell me more.
One of the big stunts in the scene in the movie was actually an accident. Ooh. A serious accident. One of the motorcycle riding raiders hit a car and flew off of a bike.
Ooh.
And then smashed his leg against another car, cartwheeled through the air and towards the camera.
Jeez.
That was all real and a genuine accident. The stuntman was just supposed to fly over the car without hitting it. But the nearly fatal accident looked so dramatic that it was kept in the movie. The stuntman broke his leg, but survived.
Damn.
And if you look at it, like, frame by frame, you can see that one of his legs is bending in a way that's not supposed to.
Oh, my God. Ouch.
Oh, my gosh. Props to that stuntman.
Ouch kebab.
Right?
That's what that is. Ooh.
And the tanker roll stunt, was at the end of the chase was deemed to be so dangerous that the stunt driver was not allowed to eat any food 12 hours before they shot in the likely event that he could be rushed into surgery.
Oh.
That's how fucking dangerous it was.
Wow.
Don't eat because you might need surgery because of the stunt. They wouldn't do that now.
No
they would
way.
CGI that.
No,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
That was just the 80s. Granted, that's like 30 some years ago, but right. like.
Dang.
Right? It's blowing my mind.
That's so insane. It sounds painful thinking about it. Ugh. All right. Is that trivia?
I think so, yeah.
So, this is where it started to. This one took me a second to get in. But Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome is where it got a little goofy.
What the fuck is Tina Turner doing?
Tina Turner?
Yeah.
She's being an entity. Or anti-entity? Is that her name?
Anti-entity.
Yeah.
Auntie.
Her shoulder pads are insane. That outfit's crazy.
It was crazy.
I don't know. Like, this one was just kind of like straight goofy in a lot of senses of like, why? What's going on now? Like, okay, this is a strange turn of events. Like,
it's also interesting because I was curious about like the Mad Max timeline, and someone on YouTube propose that Thunderdome comes after Fury Road in Mad Max time.
Like, I mean, if you want to think about it that way, I would say that right now I agree with that.
Yeah.
But that it's also like, it wouldn't be like if Fury Road's the fourth movie, but technically the third movie.
Right.
I would say that Thunderdome should technically be the eighth movie. Because it's been like years, basically, right.
They can do another Max and put so much stuff
in between all of it.
In between, you know, Fury Road and Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or and whatever the timeline is.
Right. But there was also this other theory that I liked a lot too, which was we might as well start talking about Fury Road now too.
Are we just going to skip over how weird Thunderdome was?
Well, there's not much to do without really giving it away. Like, you should really watch it. But I mean, I'll get back into it.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, like, because in Fury Road, they recasted Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fourth movie, and they recast it with Tom Hardy. And, you know, I love Tom Hardy. I thought he did a great job. That movie was spectacular, and people were... Or, I think, George Miller, because he also directed it, said that it wasn't a... It's a reboot, but it's not, you know?
Right.
And it's like... I guess it's like that because of, like, think about it like this way. Because at the end of every movie, he leaves.
Just walks away.
Or he disappears. Right. Or he walks away. Or he drives off in the sunset. Or whatever. And so, it's like, the way they said it was, it's like 007. He's a legend now.
Yeah.
You can do three movies with Tom Hardy and do it again.
Right.
And I was just like, yeah. Like, honestly, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea to me, because I agree with that idea.
Yeah.
But then you can also at some point do a reason why Mel Gibson and Tom Hardy don't look the same or whatever.
Right.
There's so many things that go on in these movies that, like, I agree.
In another 5 or 10, maybe not 10, like 5 years, do like super old, like Mel Gibson comes back as Mad Max.
Right, or something, like, yeah.
It's, you know,
rope
his
it off.
The last ride.
I'm
of
retiring
Mad Max.
As an actor and I want to do Mad Max one more time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And it's him as just like an old dude, but he has a younger dude to like help him out, or a younger woman to help him out, to, you know, whatever, fulfill his
right
rockatancy destiny, rockatancy.
But yeah, and okay, so I guess really quick, let me do the Thunderdome. What is it? The cast, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I have it up.
But yeah, Tina Turner, Bruce Spence came back. I don't know if he reprised his role or played just another character. I'd like to say he reprised his role and they just named him. Frank Thring played the collector. Angelo Rosito played the master. Paul Larson played the blaster. And Angry Anderson played Iron Bar. There's just these ton of other characters because they're random backgrounds with random names. But after being exiled from the most advanced town in post-apocalyptic Australia, a drifter travels with a group of abandoned children to rebel against the town's queen. That's beyond Thunderdome.
It's interesting, on the trivia page, it says it was not originally supposed to be a Mad Max movie. It was supposed to be a post-apocalyptic Lord of the Flies.
Oh.
Which makes sense about, you know, the children. And it became the third Mad Max when George Miller suggested that Max is the guy that finds the children.
Right, Max is the guy that finds the children.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and that's how they kind of make it in, like, a two-part movie is what it feels like.
Right.
You know?
Because I feel like...
But it's, like, a crazy amount of nonsense. In, like, a goofy way.
Right.
Not saying it's just, like, this is ridiculous, but, like, what the fuck?
You know?
Like, but still, like, okay, this is fun.
I get, now that I see that, it was, you know, maybe supposed to be a little bit of Lord of the Flies. Like, either it should have just been a Lord of the Flies movie,
mm-hmm.
or just a Mad Max movie, and they took out, like, if they took out the whole, like, kid part of just a Mad Max and had it just be Thunderdome stuff,
mm-hmm.
then maybe it wouldn't have been, like, so... What?
Right.
What are these children doing here? How long have they been here?
Right.
Where are your parents?
Really quick, Mad Max 3 Beyond Thunderdome. hour 46 minute movie was 81% fresh, but 49% from the audience saying nah.
Aww.
I'm not the only one who kind of feels like that. And I'm not saying it was a bad movie. No, I would still watch it again.
Right.
But still, it wasn't my favorite Mad Max at all.
I think, you know? Literally reading that trivia, have them combining the two stories.
Right.
I think that's what threw me off so much.
Hmm.
And again, Max, you know, doesn't have a lot of words.
Right.
But he does. Max's name is only spoken once in the movie, and it's spoken by him when he, like, introduces himself, I think, to the kids and goes, me, Max.
Mm. Okay.
That's it, which I thought was, no one ever really says his name otherwise.
Right, and that's what I think they did with Fury Road as well. Fury Road, still George Miller, Brandon McCarthy, and Nick Lothoris. Came out August 10th, 2016. With Tom Hardy playing Max Rockatansky, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
And then we had, finally, some faces that we know,
right,
including Charlize Theron as Imperator Furiosa, and Nicholas Holt as Nux, and Morton Joe is the guy who played Toe Cutter.
In the first one.
In the first movie. And we got Josh Hellman as Slit. Obviously, we got a couple others. You got Zoe Kravitz, who played one of what's-his-face's ladies. Rose Huntington Whiteley, Riley Keough, Abby Lee. Yeah, just a bunch of...
It's interesting, after I realized that Toe Cutter and Immortan Joe were played by the same character, I was like... On my phone, I was like,
what's the theory?
What, like, are they the same guy? Did somehow he survive? And there was so many, I feel like such a moron, but there's like so many Reddit posts like, no, he was literally ran over multiple times. Toe Cutter was. So he's not like, I mean, if it was like Immortan Toe Cutter, then maybe, but right, like, it's just really cool that they brought him back.
Yeah.
To play, you know, another villain.
Another villain. Yeah,
and
I like that.
He
too.
Was scary and gross and icky.
In Fury Road?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like.
They treated milk like water, and that's just creepy.
Yeah.
That's the kicker for me, is the way they drink milk and treat milk is it's just like it's the nectar of the gods, and I'm just like, ugh.
And I mean, it's.
I get it.
Is it?
I don't get it.
Like, I know. And like, I think. The like timeline that some YouTuber proposed is that like between you know when everything dies, so it would have been between what they were saying between Thunder Road and Fury Road, there was like basically like a nuclear war, and that's why everything is dead, and that's why they all look the way that they do.
Right.
And then in their
or why some of them are need blood bags,
exactly,
and shit like that. Okay.
Or they're like kind of mutant, like because there's probably radiation everywhere, so there's
right,
like weird mutations and stuff.
Okay.
My
mates, he's got Nicholas Holt's got the little tumor on his side or whatever, or a cyst, whatever it is.
The little tumor.
It's his mates.
Does
is
he
it Barry and?
Oh God. I
Barry
don't
and Larry or
something
like that.
Like that.
I can't remember.
The mates. That's yeah. So like, in that person's. I should figure out who said that. But
what I really like about the movie is when it came out with the option to black and white or chrome, black and chrome.
Yeah.
And they like really, really blew out that. They didn't blow out the white. They sharpened the white and stuff like that. It was crazy. And it's really cool. But where we kind of started to get to the point where it's just like I need the color back. It's like we got is when the car got stuck in the mud in Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about as far as I could get. And I was just like, damn, like I want to keep doing it, but I need color to kind of feel something else.
Right. That like that such contrast that they had, like that bright, like cerulean sky and like the orange sand.
Yeah, that's like, what delivers the life.
And just like whatever filter they use to like make it feel so gritty and like.
But that chrome look just, too.
That was
cool,
really cool.
But it's still like, okay, I will finish watching this another day.
Right.
You know, So that they did the same thing with the Wolverine. Not the Wolverine, Logan. They did the same thing with Logan, black and white, which I feel like they made it better. But but still, the black and chrome, it's still a cool addition. I recommend watching it. But, you know, there's just nothing that beats the original. Fury Road is definitely the second on my list. I love it to death. Then it goes the first one, and it goes the Beyond Thunderdome. But Fury Road was really cool. I love Tom Hardy. He did a magnificent job. He also had a few lines, too. Very few lines, too. just the amount of shit this man gets put through right in the beginning. You're just like, God damn, no wonder he's mad.
Right.
Then you go, oh, it's a different definition of mad.
Seriously.
You get what I mean? So. Yeah.
For Fury Road, the editor had about 470 hours worth of footage to edit.
Jesus.
Watching it took 3 months. I want to see an extended, not that I want to watch in a 3 month long movie, but like.
I want to see what else they've recorded.
2 hours? Give me a 3 hour cut.
3.5 hour cut. I dare you.
3 hours. Yeah.
3.5 hours. I dare you.
I dare you. I'd watch it.
Don't do it in Chrome. Do it in the regular. Even if it doesn't make sense, just do it. I dare you. I dare you.
Because, I mean, when Zack Snyder's Justice League came out,
yeah,
we watched all of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All 4 hours.
More than once. All 4 hours.
Yeah. Like, more than once. Yeah.
Like,
so much better.
I would watch it. Yeah. I mean, but it's just, Fury Road is already really good. I would just think that extra time would make it even, like.
I don't know if it would make it even better. I think it would just make it even longer, adding more cool stuff.
Yeah.
Visuals, just extensions, and like, oh, wow, this, like, sandstorm was longer than we thought, right. Like, kind of thing. I don't know. Maybe they bring a full band out on the road. No, I'm just kidding. Because they got the guy playing the guitar.
So we were talking about the effects in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Over 80% of the effects seen in Fury Road were practical.
Yeah?
80.
Awesome.
Including
jeez.
Stunts, makeup, and sets.
Yeah.
CGI was used sparingly, mainly to enhance the landscape, to remove stunt rigging, and for Charlie's prosthetic arm.
Prosthetic arm. Got it. Yeah, I mean, duh. Yeah.
No, they cut her arm
off. And they're like, well, you're going to live with this. Like.
Oh, man.
She's like, okay, fine.
I'll do it.
I'll do it if it's for the role.
And, it was shot in sequence.
Oh.
Which is cool.
Okay.
I think I saw, there was another movie I was like, oh, that's really cool.
I'd probably do it that way, yeah. It's easier.
Yeah. Oh, it was an article sidetracked that I think Saving Private Ryan was shot in sequence. So, like, when actors died in war, they would leave set and just be gone. So.
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
You don't need to be here. I know I'm here to support.
No,
oh, okay.
You got
to
go.
But no, you're not in the way. You want to help? Sure, what can I do? Hold this boom mic. Like,
you're going to pay me $52 million for that, though.
No, you chose to be here.
I know.
Come on, people. Learn how to talk to your people. Just kidding.
And Charlize accidentally broke Tom Hardy's nose.
Oh, in the punch with the...
When she accidentally elbowed him. Yeah.
Ooh.
She was wearing her green arm cast.
Oh.
So.
He's like, no, I'm good.
Right,
like, right. Keep rolling. Really quick, Tomato Meter, they gave this movie a 97% and the audience score was 86%. So I think I'm not the only one that agrees that basically the order of these movies of popularity definitely went 2, 4, 1,
mm-hmm.
3. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just want to read all the trivia for Fury Road.
It's going to take you days.
It's going to take me 3 months to read all that trivia. Just kidding. But it's so cool. Like, I don't know. I feel like they've done a lot of, like, it was 2015 still.
Right.
And it, like,
I know, though. That's
right?
Why we're like, do it again. And they're probably doing it again, keeping it under wraps.
Right.
I mean, I know there's a bunch of rumors. I've looked into it.
Right.
I've heard that they want a Furiosa. They want to continue Mad Max. And they want a spin-off TV show of some sort.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. On IMDb, there's like a page for Mad Max Wasteland, which only has Tom Hardy and Chris Hemsworth credited.
Wait, Chris?
Chris.
Or Liam.
Chris.
Chris would be with him?
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
And then Furiosa.
Is he going to be the humongous?
No, I'm just kidding.
He needs to. Chris Hemsworth can't play a bad guy.
You
though.
Don't think he can play a bad guy?
No.
Chris, do it.
Maybe.
Do it, Chris.
But
go toe to toe with Tom.
Is a Furiosa with 2024 release date.
Right. I mean, all this shit's going to be obviously expected to be bumped back another year, 2025 and stuff, due to the writer's strike.
Right.
But yes.
An actor's strike. But also.
Writer, actor, yes.
Chris Hemsworth is credited to be in the Furiosa.
Oh.
So.
Okay, so some tie ins.
And Anya Taylor Joy will play younger.
Furiosa.
Okay. Supposedly. Those are the only two big names that I recognize right off the bat.
Right.
But it's like a full-on cast.
Nice.
For that one.
Well, I mean, needless to say, four movies, and you love them all, except three of them lock you in. I would keep watching. I kind of don't care if you bring Mel Gibson back. Tom Hardy is doing a great job.
Right.
I would keep doing the Mix, which is the new series of it.
Right.
I want more. Yeah.
Do
I'd watch more.
The threes, like 007 does. Well, yeah.
Not the threes, you know what I mean? Let everyone have their time and then move on, you know? And I know that there's a video game for this, too, that everyone has said is a really good video game.
Does Tom Hardy voice?
No, I don't think so. I don't know who voices him. If you want to look it up really quick.
Very much.
Because technically, that's another Mad Max thing, you know what I mean? Like, right. I wonder what, like, I've only seen some gameplay, and I was like, this does look good, but a lot of people say, like, no, it's pretty good. Like, it's awesome.
Right. There's also, I keep seeing, like, Mad Max, the motion comic.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there was, like, a mini comic or, like, animated thing before Fury Road came out.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, like, on the Mad Max game, Max
doesn't have a voice actor.
He does. It's, like, way, way down the list, though. Bren Foster. Which he also voices a bunch of other stuff, so.
Right.
But yeah.
Cool. Well.
Mad Max.
Thanks for sitting with us in this Mad Maxian of a time. I don't know. This wastelandish time.
Yeah, we definitely said more things than he said in all of the movies.
In all of the movies. Like, oh yeah, all of the movies for sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think.
And that's just 32 minutes of straight speech, you guys.
Right?
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go find another series to watch and squeeze our brains.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.